We're pausing our Isaiah series for a few weeks now, and we'll jump back in September. But we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians is often called the epistle or the letter to the church. If you want to know more about church life or what it means to live out and walk out the Christian life, study the book of Ephesians. Today, we'll not be doing a normal expository message that kind of defines 10 years of history, but highlighting God's grace in the way ways it's been just hard to imagine, and pull back a bit and consider what it means to be part of his kingdom work. So Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read God's word starting at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray as we look at your word and we recount the history of your faithfulness, Lord, we would grow in deep affection for you today, for your glory, by your grace, led by your Spirit. Lord, guard my mouth from error. Let us have soft hearts towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. So several ways I want us to think about this 10-year anniversary. First is this: God has done far more than we could ask or think. God's done far more than we could ask or think. Do you hear the link between Ephesians chapter 3, what Paul says about the church and how we've been recounting the history of the church, even testimony after testimony after testimony of God's work? Friends, this is to humble us. This isn't to exalt us like, oh, we got this together. No, this is like, this was God's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 links God's massive ability to his glory in the church, his glory through the church. God loves moving and using his church, both our local church, the Church of Charleston, the Church of the U.S., the Church of the world, his churches for his kingdom purposes. We started in 2011 with 12 adults and 8 children, the Hawkins, the Warrens, the Wingates, the Seavers, Wendy Alexander, Michelle Youngsma, Joey Hawkins, and Sarah Sutphin. Sarah quickly found a Navy guy and moved. You Navy guys, always taking our singles. So we basically had 11 adults and 8 kids, not a massive team. I remember being so very grateful for the team that was moving down here from Charlotte, North Carolina, meeting together, praying together. But as we were meeting together and praying together, we had a bigger team in Charlotte than what ended up here. So we're meeting together, praying together, and then all of a sudden this family drops out and that family drops out. And it was like, oh dear, this is getting smaller. Our team's getting smaller. I remember talking to Pastor Dave Harvey, and he was encouraging me that you don't need to worry about the size of the team. You need to worry about the health of the team, the spiritual health of the team. And friends, we had a spiritually healthy team that laid a foundation of what's laid ultimately by Jesus and his word. We were not big, but we loved Jesus. Now looking back at those first days, those little days, those 11 adults, 8 kids days, I kind of look at that team as a group of Navy SEALs. Like, it's not a big team, but they're getting stuff done. They're on mission together for King Jesus. In the early moments of the church plant, God showed us that we couldn't do the work by ourselves. We needed others. We needed other churches. And God's plan was to use our church among other churches in our area for his kingdom work, local partnership. So we partnered quickly with Journey Church, who invited us in day one, and we met there on Saturday nights. We started a 10-year history of loving God's heart for other local churches, praying for other local churches, doing events with other local churches. Well, that's just kind of an expected thing we do. Whether it's the J127 or Jobs for Life or the Grace and Race or Sports Camp or Love Gave or whatever it is, it's like we're doing it in partnership with Journey Church or Net Church or Restoration Church or Grace Christian Church, or the list could go on and on. And doing something I never saw growing up, not competing, but loving for the sake of the kingdom. A win for that church is a win for the kingdom. And really in our hearts believing that. Not like, yeah, yeah, great, wonderful, but in your heart being like, rah. No. Man, when Journey Church got in their building, praise God. When Grace Christian took over their former building, praise God. Like, when the gospel's being shared by Ridge Baptist, praise God. Like, we really care about other churches. But there's been this theme, this thread running out throughout our 10 years that we see in this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. God doing more than we could ask or think. We didn't ask because we didn't think about it. Like, we just didn't know to think about it. So in 2014, we had a bunch of our younger marrieds and singles at our house. We were talking about having some sort of conference. We're like, okay, let's have pizza together, pray together, and see what the Lord wants to do. So we're meeting, talking, and this idea of the gospel and race was kind of like a thing that kind of seemed to be like, I think this is what God's leading. So we kind of had a task list of what to play out from there. Fast forward. And out of that meeting of a lot of white people at my house formed One Charleston, a multi-ethnic ministry that's walking toward brokenness in a community that is hurt by this and has a history of racism in the Charleston area. The One Charleston leadership team now consists of white and black men and women, Anglican, Charismatic, Baptist, Sovereign Grace, non-denominational. That's just the leadership team. Several conferences, training, and not just giving social, political answers to race questions, but saying gospel answers. The gospel is what we are rooted in. Another area that God's done more than we could ask or think is in the area of missions and unreached people. I remember us just saying, hey, we need to stir this. Not exactly sure how to stir it. Well, we'll pray. So we're going to pray for unreached peoples, and we're starting to pray for unreached people groups, that God would do what he wants to do in places that have never heard the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, Wendy Alexander, who's here with us today, says, hey, I think God's calling me to the nations. I was like, really? But you're on the core team. And we sent Wendy to Thailand. She was there for 5 years, doing an amazing job, seeing her gifts at work and how God's made her. She's back in the U.S. now training missionaries. It's amazing work of God. Then David and Mandy England had been members here for a while. And one Sunday, they raised their hands of, I think God's calling us to the nations. Mandy, I think I shared this a few weeks ago, on her way home telling the kids, I think we're going to Thailand. And they're there serving the Lord. God stirs, and we watch, and we marvel at God's doing. We wanted to be a church who planted churches. Our goal has never been to be thousands of people. Our goal is to be whatever God wants us to be and plant a church, and then plant another church, then plant another church, send missionaries. That's been our desire. Had no idea how that was going to happen. God sent us Philip Pinckney. I'm going to try to not wrap this from the thing last night. For you guys who weren't here, we did a Hamilton spoof. And so I have rap lyrics of every single part of this message, basically. And it was hard this morning. I was going over it, and I was like, don't rap it. So, and you're not coming up to rap it either. My wife kind of like just took off, stole the show last night. She did great. So Philip was here for 2 years. Then he planted Radiant Church. Radiant's doing well there in North Charleston. They have a new facility right now. They're running 150, 200, 250. I don't know what they're running. So thankful for the opportunity to plant Radiant Church in the North Charleston area. They're getting ready to plant the Bridge Church. So we have a grandbaby church, which is awesome. We've gotten to watch God do so many amazing things, more than we could ask or think. The last one of this kind of idea I want to cover is our merger with Singery Baptist. We prayed for years for a facility. We started at Journey on Saturday nights. We were 4.5 years at Singery Middle School. Thank you, Mrs. Day. Mrs. Day is in the back, the principal at Singery Middle. One day, I will never forget this moment. One day, Mrs. Day calls me and says, "Hey, the district is quadrupling your rent." Mrs. Day was fighting for us, fighting the district for us, and lost. Like, we just like, they aren't shifting. And so we just couldn't afford being over at Sangaree. They loved us. We loved them. We still love them. We had to figure out something. We had three different churches, three different denominations say, "Hey, we'll take you on Sunday nights." We ended up going back to Journey Church. We were there for about 18 months. We were trying to figure out every option. We were knocking on doors. We were looking at storefronts. We were trying to figure out where to go. We even had an almost lease sign and a landlord lie to us. And we realized, whoa. And like, so I remember we were doing like every year we'd have like a state of the church address of like, "Hey, here's how things going." And one year I was talking through 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12. This is King Jehoshaphat. And his words were this: "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Like, we had no idea what to do. We've done everything we human possibly know. So we just pray and fast and, "Lord, what do you want?" And then I got a call one day from Mickey White. Mickey was helping Singery Baptist Church work through some hard times they were going through. They didn't have a senior pastor anymore. They had about 16 members, and they were trying to figure out what they were doing. So they came, and we started talking. Jim Hawkins, Josh West, and I met with their elders and their deacons, just started asking the question, "Is God up to something here?" And as we started talking, we're like, "Yeah, I think so." And they wanted to merge with us. And I'll just, hours and hours of prayer conversations and discussions and meetings, I'll just summarize as God did it. April 1st, 2018, we officially dropped both names, Sovereign Grace Church and Singery Baptist Church, and renamed ourselves Risen Hope Church. Over the next year, we renovated this building. I remember Miss Kate being so excited that bathrooms were good. She was like, "The ladies' bathroom." It was in need of some work. And so we got that. Thank you, Jimmy Gunther. God kept doing far more than we could ask or think. And you'll hear that theme. God's doing it. God's doing it. God's doing it. Please hear this, friends. We didn't strategize this. We prayed and we asked God to do what he wants to do. Now, God didn't just work in really good times. It's sometimes easy to see God being far more abundant, doing far more abundant than we could ask or think in the big, amazing, One Charleston, a merger, all these kind of things. But our God's ability stretches into the hard times. Tears, suffering, struggles, whether small or medium or large trials. My second point is this: God has brought us through trials. We know from Jesus' very first words in Matthew 16, first time we have recorded Jesus using the word church, he says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." One, it's Jesus' church. Two, there's opposition. There's always opposition to Christ's church. It might be small, it might be medium, it might be large. We started feeling some of this early on. Just kind of a small thing was about a year into church, we were kind of doing the portable church thing, bought a trailer and equipment and stuff like that. We had it for about 2 weeks, and then it got stolen. So that was interesting. So I remember meeting that Sunday and being like, okay. So it was like a gated, locked thing, and someone rammed their truck into this fence and stole everything we'd spent thousands of dollars on. And we were like, all right, So that Sunday, we prayed and prayed some more and just did what we did with nothing. And that night, the police found everything. And most of it was still in the trailer. And it was just his goodness and kindness. Another smaller trial, this was early on. Mrs. Day will probably remember this. An anonymous letter got sent to Mrs. Day and Sangaree Middle School talking about how we abuse children. All this history of abuse. And I was like, well, we just started, so we don't have any history. And so what was wild is what someone meant for evil, God meant for good. Because we had lots of conversations. I started having conversations with the assistant superintendent of Berkeley County. We started building a friendship. He started asking me to be on committees. And all this kind of stuff. It was like, wait, that guy was trying to fracture things. And what ended up happening is friendships that started. What God means, or what people mean for evil, God means for good. Stolen trailers and anonymous letters can be hard. But I would say more of the medium-sized trial to even maybe harder trial is the friendships that have been hard. 2 years after planting the church, so 2 years, we're 2 years in, and 9 families moved away in a summer. It was about half the church. And I remember being like, oh no, this is what we're basically replanting. What do we do? And they were sweet goodbyes. Many of them were on the screen of people we love dearly and still keep in touch with. At that point, I was just recounting to Craig Tuck last night, God in his kindness to us, it was hard for them. Cross Point Church around town ended up closing their doors, and God provided this group of people to come here, the Crosbys, the Hills, the Pessoas, the priests, they came right about that same time, and it was a gift to us. I hadn't really thought about that a ton until Craig and I were talking yesterday. That was strategic, and Craig doing all that he's doing in the city now, he wouldn't be doing that if that church didn't close. But even harder was people that left the church for not good reasons, whether it was slander or gossip or super concerning moments. Those were tough trials. I'll never forget the Sunday that a few families walked out in the middle of the service because they didn't like a prayer that was prayed by a guest speaker. There were counseling situations where you're trying to reconcile families who are struggling. Friends, we're sinners, and sinners do something. They sin. And so part of church life is working through mess. One thing I've said a lot over the 10 years is sin splatters, and it's splattered at different points, and it's been hard. It's been messy. Friends, we are a church in desperate need of God's grace. If you haven't ever been sinned against in Risen Hope Church, you have something coming probably at some point. I know, I was thinking, I think I've sinned against every single pastor and pastor's wife, every single deacon. Like I've had to repent in different points because of my mess. You probably have your own stories. Friends, we are in need of a Savior, grateful for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But there are even, I would say, more difficult moments of tears shed. And those are the times we've had to walk through church discipline as a church. Those are kind of those supersized trials, whether it was adultery, abandonment, homosexuality, or just walking away from the Lord. We've had to walk the long, slow, hard, loving process of confronting sin, calling out people to repentance, calling them to be restored to Christ and his body. We even saw one day a man did, one who had left his family, walked all the way through church discipline, and he came back and repented. I talked to this man a couple weeks ago. He's wanting to grow. He doesn't live in the area anymore, but wanting to grow in the Lord. Friends, as we have walked through church discipline, we've seen God care for us as a family. God caring for his church. But it's not just those are large trials, but I don't have time to get into the miscarriages, the heart surgeries and dog attacks, shark attack, we had that, funerals, illness, surgeries, pandemic, like we could just go on and on of the trials. Friends, I know it feels really weird to talk about trials at a 10-year anniversary, But that's part of our story. And this is part of the church's story throughout the New Testament and throughout church history. We are pressed but not crushed. We're struck down but not destroyed. Satan hates Christ's church and will oppose it. We will have more trials in the days ahead. I guarantee it. Look in the future of 10 years. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be tears. But Christ will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Paul said that he desired to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and share in his suffering. This is normal life. Normal life. That leads us into my third point, because God does far more abundantly than we ask and think in the normal, week in, week out, small moments of church life. Third point is this: God is helping us to value faithful plodding. I'm so thankful that God is teaching us as a church to faithfully plod. Our society says the big, the glamorous, the fast, the special, that's what matters in life. But that's not normal life. Normal life is the marathon. The Christian life is a marathon. It's long, it's steady, it's slow. It's the ordinary moments of church life that are the richest. It's the slow study through God's word. It's the silent moments of prayer. It's the smiles and hope kids. It's the lingering conversations. It's the meal with the new friend and community group. It's playing soccer last night or cornhole or eating a snow cone or whatever it is. It's dancing together. It's just being together. One of my favorite things about Risen Hope is that God is teaching us to faithfully plod, to love the slow, steady walk together for years. That Jacob Gunther can say, this is my whole life, 10 years, and my church family doesn't just love my parents, they love me. The slow, steady work of God. Here's some ways I feel like God's helped us faithfully plod. First is teaching God's word, verse by verse. We have studied Mark, Philippians, Job, Luke, Genesis, Jude, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Galatians, Exodus, Titus, John, and now Isaiah. We're hoping to do Ephesians next year. In God's word. And whether it's Sunday morning or Hope Kids or women's ministry or youth ministry or community group, whatever it is, we want to be in God's word, and God's word defines what we do. We want to have an impulse toward God's word and the gospel. Second way we faithfully plod is we sing together. We're singing together. Songs that shape us. And Christopher, I'd just like to thank you. You've, from day one, led us towards song. Yeah, we can clap. From day one, singing songs about Christ our King and Him crucified. We don't sing lots of fluffy songs. We're not a happy, clappy church. Heard one guy say, we're a same things church. We're a church that's going to speak the gospel week in, week out. We're going to sing about Jesus week in and week out. We're going to faithfully plod together. And friends, singing matters. We see that in Scripture. It helps us have theological reflexes. You know what your reflex is, your default, without even thinking it? Songs help form our theological reflexes. Next faithful plodding is praying together. Some of my favorite moments in Risen Hope are when we've prayed for unreached peoples or needs in the body or hurts, and there's that low hum of prayer throughout the room. Another way we faithfully plod is caring for one another. In community group, in D groups. And friends, it's just been a joy watching the next generation watch you and how you care for others. My wife was telling me she was chaperoning on youth camp just a month or two ago, 6 weeks, I don't know, last month. And it was, she enjoyed just watching our teenagers care for one another, speak truth to one another, and pray for one another. Uninitiated by adults, watching them do that. Friends, where did they learn that? You've modeled that for years, and the next generation is doing that for one another. It's glorious, and it's God's work, the Holy Spirit working in our teenagers. Next area of faithful plodding is serving together. We have served the Lord by using the gifts He's given to build up and edify his church. Just think about 10 years of just Sundays. There's other serving besides Sundays, but just Sundays. 10 years of Hope Kids teachers preparing, teaching, praying, loving, lessons, rears wiped, all sorts of stuff. Like, that's a lot of serving. 10 years of setup and teardown. Thank you, Jim Hill. 10 years of projector clicks. I wonder how many clicks. Like, I was just thinking, like, we could add up like crazy things. How many clicks in 10 years have we done? 10 years of women's ministry events, planning and preparing. 10 years of community groups being led, meals made, people hosted. 10 years of a family of servants wanting to faithfully plod and honor Jesus. Next area, faithful plodding is proclaiming the gospel. Friends, raise your hand for me if over the last 10 years you've come to know Jesus. Raise it high. That's pretty amazing. Thank you. Faithfully, it doesn't mean that you can put your hand back down. I love it, just like keep those up all day. But God is working. Now, some of you guys, you know, you weren't here when you came to know Jesus. Some of you guys were. But we see over the last 10 years, God is on the move. He's doing things. And it's so glorious in our eyes. We want to faithfully plod. You look at the acorn jar out in the lobby. There's around, I counted this a few weeks ago. I think there's more added. There's like around 170 gospel conversations that have happened in the last 20 months through members of Risen Hope Church. We want to be people who share the gospel. If you've shared the gospel, put an acorn in there, a brown one. If someone comes to know Christ, you can put the silver one in there. It's just a visual reminder to us that we are people on mission, a people who love to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And last area of faithful plodding is living on mission. Friends, we want to speak the gospel, but we want to live the gospel to neighbors, to coworkers, to friends, to family. We want to plant churches, as Mark Prater said up there. We want to serve our community of Sangaree, care for orphans, care for our city, love Sangaree Middle School, just love others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My last point is this. God has given us a future hope. Our text says, now to him who is able to do far more, I'm almost done, by the way, just to let you know. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Get this next part. This could be a throwaway, a tag that we don't get all the time. Forever and ever. Glory to Jesus forever and ever. That's where we're going, friends. We're going to the forever and ever. We are going to the new heavens, new earth. There's hands raising their hands that at one point in the last 10 years didn't know Jesus, was in their sin, in death, now have new life, going toward the forever and ever to worship King Jesus around his throne. Oh, friends, it's such a gift that we have eternal life in Jesus. And as a church, we exist to glorify God. However long God wants this local church to exist. Because here's the sobering reality, friends. We must know the reality that the church in Ephesus that we're reading about in Ephesians chapter 3 no longer exists. Doesn't exist anymore. It served its purpose for a specific period of time. And friends, there may be a day when Risen Hope Church has to close its doors. It's served its kingdom purposes. Or we're an old bunch of old people who don't have any vigor, or we got wisdom, but we're tired. And a younger church plant comes and says, hey, what do you think about merging? We need a facility. And we're like, Lord, help us. We are so tired and we need help. And we do a merge. That could happen if that's what God wants, or if God wants to shut this thing down, that's okay. This is God's church. This is not about us. This is about his kingdom to the very end. So our goal is to be faithful to the very end, to honor Christ to the very end, to live for his kingdom to the very end. And friend, the blessed hope is the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our hope is not Risen Hope Church. Our hope is Jesus, to his glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the marvelous wonder of your faithfulness. things that we did not ask, we could not think, a love that you stir the height and depth and breadth and length. We thank you, King Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.